the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team.
Welcome, everybody, to today's episode of Lifetime Planning. I'm Aaron Wiegman, and with me is Crystal Colbert. And we are going to follow up on the Lifetime Planning episode that we had last week with Brian MacArthur, as he was talking about some of the changes to Medicare, Medicare Advantage, the choices that individuals have to actually make on that, and talking about some of the penalties for late enrollment, changes to Part D, and the changes to Medicare Advantage within scripts. So that's some of the topics that Brian had covered last week. And today, as we come up on that enrollment period starting on October 15th, we want to cover a couple of different things today about the transition to Medicare as you retire and the choices that you really need to be making there, the steps to be taking, and things to consider as you are looking at the differences between Medicare and Medicare Advantage plans. So, Crystal, tell us a little bit about what it is that we're going to be talking about today, maybe a little bit more detail. Specifically, what's that transition going to be looking like for people that are making that jump from having that employer insurance over to Medicare and Medicare supplement plans?
Yes, of course. So I feel like one of the topics that don't get discussed as much is really that transitional period from being on an employer-sponsored plan to jumping to Medicare. A lot of people just talk about, you know, being on Medicare, the differences. So really, we just kind of wanted to talk about the transition and, you know, jumping, making that jump. So really, when it comes down to it, Medicare is the health insurance system for U.S. for people who are over age 65. So we really wanted to get down, you know, later we'll talk a little bit about the process and what to look for. But yeah, that's pretty much what the topic of the show is about today.
Okay, so I think some of the like biggest parts of confusion for people as they wind up making that transition from their employer plan to now Medicare is, what do they need to do? How do they enroll? What are the different parts of Medicare? What are some things that important things that individuals should know when they're enrolling in Medicare?
So if you are retiring or retired before age 65, you must enroll into Medicare at age 65. So you should start applying at least 3 months before you turn 65. And you really should be looking into this process probably 8 months before, because there's a lot to know about Medicare and a lot to look into whether you're going to go into Medigap or Medicare Advantage. So that's really huge. So, you know, before you turn age 65, 3 months before, start applying. And then if you are retiring after age 65, this is usually where people get a little bit confused, because when it comes down to applying for Medicare at that point, it really is determined by the size of your employer. So if your employer has less than 20 employees, you should sign up for Part A because it's free. And Part B, when you're first eligible, you should absolutely apply if your employer has less than 20 employees, just basically because Medicare pays before any other coverage at that point. Now, it is different if your employer has over 20 employees. So if you have a group health plan, you are able to delay Part A and Part B. You don't need to do anything when you turn age 65, but you will want to compare the cost, because a lot of the times Medicare actually has better coverage than your group health care plan. So just compare the costs and benefits for each. And then after you retire, or when you're coming close to retiring, there is that special enrollment period if you work past the age of 65. So anytime while you're covered by a current employer plan, start looking. You have an additional 8 month period beginning from, you know, when you terminate employment with your firm. You have 8 months to sign up for coverage without penalty when it comes to Medicare.
Gotcha. So you do have a little bit of a gap of time, but like, depending on what the costs are for, I guess, covering that gap of time, it might be in your best interest to get that taken care of right away.
Correct. And always talk with someone in HR about the process too, because you can get a lot of information as to, you know, especially how many employees your employer has, you know,
and like where you actually fall into that. If Medicare by itself is not actually enough, you know, there's high deductible plans, Part B, Part A, no limit out of what should people be looking into?
Yeah. So the two biggest components, right? Medicare is not enough. Really, when it comes down to Medicare, it's your Part A, which is hospital coverage, and if you think hospital coverage, and Part B, which is medical, like doctors, where Medicare, you're going to have to look into supplemental coverage. So that's going to be your Medigap coverage or your Medicare Advantage coverage, just so that way it can kind of help with coinsurance, make sure that with Medicare alone, there's no limit on out-of-pocket costs. So it could be astronomical if something were to happen. So you always want to have either Medicare Advantage or Medigap coverage on top of Medicare.
To give you more coverage that is you're used to right now, right?
Exactly. Because you're used to having like a limit on out-of-pocket costs when it comes to your employer plan. But that is not the case with Medicare, just Part A and Part B.
Okay. So as we're getting ready to make that decision on how we wind up accomplishing this whole Medicare situation, what are some caveats as you're planning? What are some things to take into consideration?
First and foremost, always talk with the doctor that you've been accustomed and really like. Make sure that they accept Medicare plans. Most doctors, around 90%, do accept Medicare coverage for existing patients going on to Medicare. But if they don't, it could take several months to really find a doctor. So you really want to make sure that you talk with your doctor first, see what you should do and if they cover Medicare. If you go on to a Medicare Advantage plan, then the doctor that you work with might not be in your area, so or in your network. So you really want to make sure that that's, you know, covered for you, especially if you like your doctor.
So if you like that doctor, make sure that doctor is going to be in the plan that you're taking if you want to keep that person.
Yes.
Right.
If you're fine with losing him or her, then don't worry about it. And then another caveat to really think about is when it comes to your HSA. So a really big thing that somebody needs to avoid any sort of tax penalty is stop contributing to your HSA at least 6 months before you apply for Medicare.
And HSA is the health savings account, right? So you can put money in pre-tax and you can take it out, you know, tax-free if used for medical expenses.
Exactly. So you just want to be cognizant. Just make sure you stop contributing to that account at least 6 months prior. But the nice thing about an HSA is you can use the funds to cover Medicare premiums, co-pays, co-insurance. So it's a good account to have. Just make sure you're not contributing to it.
It can't be used for Medigap premiums.
No, not Medigap. Just your Part B.
Gotcha. What are some things that high income individuals need to take into consideration?
Yeah. So one thing that Medicare does look at is it does go off of your modified adjusted gross income from your tax return 2 years prior. So you really want to be cognizant about how much income you had coming in the door because Medicare premiums are based off of your income. So if you are single and making below $97,000 or you made $97,000 2 years prior, or married filing jointly and you made $194,000 or lower, then your premiums...
They're at the lowest amount. So that's the lowest range. So I think it's $164 a month for someone who's making less than $97,000. And if you go over that, then it jumps to $230.
Exactly. And there's different brackets and different stages based off of what your income is. So you just want to be cognizant about how much income you have coming in, and you really want to make sure that, you know, especially if you have a life-changing event like loss of income from retiring, if you know your income is going to be dramatically lower than when you were working.
You can file a petition basically to get that taken back. You know, if there is that life-changing event, you can go back to them and say, well, you know, I retired or, you know, a spouse passed away or something like that. So in that abnormal year where you have income that shouldn't necessarily be where it is going forward, you can have that petition and get your premiums changed if they allow for that, right? But you have to go through the process.
Yes, and you can appeal that. So just right. Make sure that if, you know, you're going from $500,000 a year because you were working to now maybe less than $194,000 and you're married filing jointly, then really apply for that appeal so that way you can reduce your premiums going forward once you're on Medicare.
And that would be pretty important because that $500,000, you're paying over $500 a month for that Medicare premium. So that's a big change. It's that sneaky tax that, you know, we call it the premium, but it's kind of the sneaky tax, which is something that we have to take into consideration for talking about doing things like Roth conversions or taking extra income in a particular year. You know, we have to make note of that before we wind up making those decisions.
Exactly. So always work with a financial advisor or financial planner because they can really help you determine what your comfort level is when it comes to going above those thresholds and how that may impact you going forward when it comes to your premiums.
Okay. So what else should we take into consideration when looking at Medigap policies or Medicare Advantage plans?
Yes. So remember, the two different, you know, policies or supplemental coverage that you're really looking into is Medigap or Medicare Advantage. One of the biggest important considerations when it comes to deciding between the two is if you don't buy a Medigap policy within 6 months of enrolling in Part B, you may be denied later based off of your health status if you wanted to go on to a Medigap policy. So say, you know, you're like, okay, I want to start out with the Medicare Advantage plan, and in a few years, I'll go back and go on to a Medigap policy. Well, depending on what your health status is, you may be denied. So you really want to be aware of that fact that, you know, if you maybe already have a pre-existing health condition, then going on to that Medigap policy is probably going to be the best option for you. Or if you're worried about maybe you have a history or family health history, just really be cognizant about if your health does change later on, it may be very difficult to go from a Medicare Advantage to a Medigap policy.
Okay. And what, I guess, as we're making that transition, what does that transition to Medicare look like?
Yeah. So first and foremost, it's really important to know, when are you going to retire, right? When is that date that you're going to need to apply for Medicare? So usually it's at retirement, but anytime after your age 65. So start that process at least 8 months before, really looking into, okay, am I going to want to go on to a Medigap policy or am I going to want to go on to a Medicare Advantage? And you can work with special licensed individuals who help determine which type of policy you should be on. So really look into what date you're going to, you know, move on to Medicare and then start moving forward. And then next, you're going to want to choose your plan. So are you going to be on Medigap? So original Medicare Part A, Part B, and then Medigap policy. Or are you going to be on a Medicare Advantage plan, which combines Part A and Part B? And it usually does include Part D, which is that drug coverage plan that you have.
There are some major differences as people are considering Medigap versus Medicare Advantage. What would be, in general, what would be the reasons why someone would get one over the other? You already alluded to just the health situation, just being able to keep Medigap insurance, and that might be superior versus going Medicare Advantage if you do have health considerations to look into. But what are some of the other things that people wind up looking at there?
Yeah, so first and foremost, definitely the cost when it comes to Medigap versus Medicare Advantage. Generally speaking, Medicare Advantage, some of those policies that, you know, are in place are a lot cheaper in general. Benefits and premiums may change from year to year, so you do have to be cognizant of that. But whereas Medigap, there's definitely a premium when it comes to each policy. Benefits never change when you're on a Medigap policy, but premiums can go up. So really when it comes to costs, you want to be conscious and know, you know, what you're getting yourself into. Usually Medigap is going to be a little bit more expensive depending on which plan you choose. One thing to really make note of is when it comes to a Medigap policy, you can see any doctor who accepts Medicare. In some areas, it may be a problem, but generally speaking, you can see any doctor who accepts Medicare. Whereas a Medicare Advantage plan, you have to use network providers. So it could be a problem finding a doctor. You need to make sure that they're in your area and in your network.
So more of like if you plan on traveling, if you might move, if you might be doing some different things, then like Medigap might work well for you. Whereas if you plan on being in one geographic area, you don't travel much, premium is a consideration. Maybe that's something where you look at Medicare Advantage.
Exactly. That's huge. Is you can see a doctor or get care anywhere in the US with a Medigap policy. So it's great for travelers or snowbirds who are in different areas versus, you know, Medicare Advantage. It's going to be really honed in on your area and your network. Those are probably some of the biggest considerations when it comes to Medicare Advantage and Medigap. So really just be cognizant. Generally, Medigap is a bit more stable, whereas Medicare Advantage, they're both great, Medicare Advantage and Medigap, but just be cognizant about the differences between the two.
So as we look at the specific plans, where are some places where people can go get some more information about this stuff?
Yeah. So some great resources that I actually use. One of them is if you just go to medicare.gov/find-a-plan, that's a great place to start looking. You can look into Medigap policies, what the coverages are and how much the premiums would be in your area. Same with if you wanted to look into Medicare Advantage, just to compare the differences between a Medigap policy and a Medicare Advantage policy, you can do that right on that website as well. You can use a licensed Medicare broker, like I talked about earlier, or you can use the State Health Insurance Assistance Program, or SHIP, as they would call it. So a lot
That's
of
HIP.
Yes. So a lot of great resources that you can look into and tap into. So yeah, so once you finally decide whether you want to be on or use Medigap policy or Medicare Advantage, then you're going to want to enroll in Medicare. And remember, you want to do that 3 months prior to that date that you're going to be on Medicare. So enroll in Medicare, sign up for your supplemental coverage, whether it be the Medigap policy and the drug plan or Medicare Advantage plan. Make sure that everything starts on the first of your chosen month. So the first of the month when you turn age 65. If you need to appeal the IRMA because, you know, your income is drastically going to change come retirement, you'll definitely want to file form SSA-44 just to show and prove that your income is changing due to a work stoppage. And you just mail that or deliver it to your local Social Security office. And then last but not least, you just want to make sure that you monitor and manage. So make sure you keep up with any sort of changes that are happening within your Medicare Advantage plan or your Medigap policy. Review it annually. The enrollment period is from October 15th to December 7th. So make sure you're cognizant of that when you're looking into, even if you're, you know, going forward, make sure to check for higher premiums or reduced benefits. If you're on that Medicare Advantage plan, changes in your provider network, just make sure you're on top of any sort of changes that are happening on your policy. And then just continue some regular tax management, know how much income you're going to have before jumping into the next IRMA bracket so you don't increase your Medicare premiums if it's not necessary.
Well, I think that was a pretty good summary to give people the pluses, minuses, just understand kind of the differences between Medicare supplement and the Medicare Advantage plans. And of course, I mean, if you have any sort of questions about the decisions that you have to make, retirement in general, as it comes up, because there's a lot of decisions that you have to make about retirement. Crystal, how can someone reach out to you and get some more information?
Yes. So you can always call into the office at 858-487-3939 and ask to speak directly with Crystal Colbert, or you can email me at crystal.colbert@financialsense.com. And Aaron, if they wanted to speak with you, how could they get in contact with you?
Well, that would be the same phone number. It's the 858-487-3939. And then you can always reach me at aaron.wiegman, that's W-I-E-G-M-A-N, at financialsense.com. And if this was beneficial for you and you think someone else might take advantage of this and be appreciative of the information that we're sharing here today, go ahead and share this podcast with them too. So I hope this was a good educational resource for you as you're making these decisions, and look forward to seeing you next time.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.